Hello and good morning. It is 13th July 2020, and this is the Morning Bible Study. Today we are in 2 Samuel chapter 17, 2 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to really cover the entire chapter. So now would be a great time to pause your audio. Go ahead and read through chapter 17, and then after you unpause your audio, we will get right into the text. And I'm going to try my very best to get through this in 15 minutes. I sincerely doubt it. It's my promise that I never keep, but I'm going to try my best for us to actually get through one of these in 15 minutes. So go ahead, pause your audio, and then when you're done reading, unpause. Okay, so here we are in chapter 17, and as we've already looked at Ahithophel, we know the basic outline of the story. We know that Absalom has rebelled against David. We know that Ahithophel was the great counselor of Israel, and he sided with Absalom. And there's a theory about that, by the way, a theory about that. And this was a theory proposed by my mentor, Rick Jones, and Rick always believed that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Now, it's worth noting that some people dispute this, but actually there are quite a few people that just take this for granted, especially among conservative evangelicals, traditionally people called fundamentalists. That's just taken as a matter of fact. And even the Jewish Encyclopedia just takes it as a matter of fact that that's who he is. They assume that Eliam, who is the father of Bathsheba, his father Ahithophel, was the Ahithophel we know from the scripture. So just be aware that that could really speak into the meaning of this text. Anyways. As we continue looking into the text now, we see that Ahithophel has already given Absalom the advice so that he would become a stench in his father's nostrils, so that there would be total war, and he would strengthen the hands of those who support him. And Ahithophel then is giving Absalom advice on how they're to pursue the battle. And he says, by the way, pay attention here to the pronouns here. These pronouns are significant. He says, "Let me pick out 12,000 men, then I will go and pursue David this very night. When I catch up with him, he will be exhausted and worn out. I will rout him, and the entire army that is with him will flee. I will kill only the king, and will bring the entire army back to you. In exchange for the life of the man you are seeking, you will get back everyone. The entire army will return unharmed." Now, this seemed like a good idea to Absalom and all the leaders of Israel. Okay, so let's just take a quick pause here. Was that a good plan? Yes, in fact, that was a very good plan. If your plan is to kill David, that's a very good plan. If you've got somebody on the run, you keep them on the run. All right. Now this is by the way, forgive me because this isn't a war thing. This is just chess, right? Like I love chess. This is a reason why it's important that chess becomes a mandatory subject in public school because we need children to learn basic principles of logic and chess is a great way to learn that. And it is very logical. It makes the uttermost sense to say if you've got your enemy on the run, you don't let them regroup. You keep on the pressure. Somebody once defined the way that you win at chess this way. He said, the idea of chess is to keep asking your opponent questions and then keep asking more and more questions until you find one he can't solve. Like that's what chess is about asking questions that somebody can't solve. And that's what this is doing. This is the advice that Ahithophel is giving. Your father's on the run. He is not consolidated. He is not prepared. He doesn't have any kind of fortified place to go. He's tired. He's weary. He's worn out. Attack now. Strike while the iron is hot. Make hay when the sun shines. And this seemed like a good idea to Absalom and to all the leaders of Israel. But Absalom said, "Call for Hushai the Archite, and let's hear what he has to say." So Hushai came to Absalom, and Absalom said to him, "Here is what Ahithophel has advised. Should we follow his advice? If not, what would you recommend?" Okay, so Hushai, by the way, remember, Hushai is on the side of David. Hushai is there to be a spy and to frustrate the advice of Ahithophel. And by the way, Ahithophel's advice is good. The text will tell us that. Hushai replied to Absalom, "Ahithophel's advice is not sound this time. Not good. Is maybe a more literal translation, but Hushai went on to say, "You know your father and his men. They are soldiers and are as dangerous as a bear out in the wild that has been robbed of her cubs. Your father is an experienced soldier. He will not stay overnight with the army. At this very moment, he is hiding out in one of the caves or in some other similar place. If it should turn out that he attacks our troops first, whoever hears of it will say Absalom's army has been slaughtered. If that happens, even the bravest soldier, one who is lion-hearted, will virtually melt away. For all Israel knows that your father is a warrior and those who are with him are brave." Okay, so Ahithophel spends a long time saying advice that's actually very true and very sound. From when he begins in verse 8 all the way through to here, what we've seen so far is that Hushai is giving good advice. He's giving true advice. And he's saying, look, if you're going to go and attack your father at night, if you're going to go do a sneak attack, you would be wise to make sure that this doesn't turn against you. And you need to remember, if you're only seeking David's life, that David is probably not with the soldiers. He's probably off by himself because he's a warrior and he's not afraid to be by himself. And by himself, maybe by himself, maybe, I mean, maybe him with a small bodyguard, but he's not afraid to be alone. He does not need the protection of the army. And so he may be separate from them. You may find the army and not find David. And he says, if something bad happens in this plan, then people are going to be afraid because it's already a risky venture. I'm reading between the lines here, but it's already a risky venture to side against the king, especially the king who has the mighty men with him. So you need to beware. That's all good advice. That's all true advice. And then this is what he says in verse 11. Now listen to the pronouns. My advice, therefore, is this. Let all Israel from Dan to Beersheba in number, like the sand by the sea, be mustered to you, and you lead them personally into battle. We will come against him wherever he happens to be found. We will descend on him like the dew falls on the ground. Neither he nor any of the men who are with him will be spared alive. Not one of them. If he regroups in a city, all Israel will take up ropes to that city and drag it down to the valley so that not a single pebble will be left there. Okay, let's take a look really quick at the advice that Ahithophel gives and the advice that Hushai gives. Look at what he says. Ahithophel says, give me 12,000 men. I will pursue David. I will catch him. I will rout him. And I will only kill the king and bring the entire army back to you. That's his advice. And people thought it was good advice until they hear Hushai's advice. And then what is Hushai's advice? He says, let all of Israel be mustered to you, and you lead them personally into battle. And if he runs into a city, all Israel will come and drag that city down into the valley so that not a single pebble will be left, and we will kill everyone. What's the difference in this advice? Now, if you look at it just from a purely not sure point of view, like you're just trying to objectively weigh these options, which option sounds better? Well, they both have pros and cons, right? These are both advice given by very wise men who know how to give wise, at least seemingly wise, advice. The advantage of Ahithophel's advice is that they go immediately. They strike when the iron is hot, and they do not allow David any room to breathe. You know, everybody who's seen Rocky knows, you know, Rocky likes to work the body, and Rocky's working the body, and they're like, don't let him breathe. You know, that's my impression of Mick. And Mick's like, don't let him breathe. By the way, it's kind of a racist nickname, but, you know, I guess if he was okay with it. But he's, you know, and they're saying, work the body, work the body, work the body. Don't let up. Never let up. Just keep those right and left hooks to the body coming, and don't let somebody breathe. Just keep them in a defensive position. Never let them open up and start swinging again. And that's good advice. But Hushai's advice, what is Hushai's advice saying? He's saying, look, we're not going to let any of these traitors live. They're all going to die. Anybody who stands against you, the king, will die. And all of Israel is going to gather to you. All of Israel is going to gather to you. Everybody's going to come. You don't need to worry about being routed in battle. Everybody's going to gather to you. I think we can see pretty quickly why Absalom goes with Hushai's advice. Why? Because Absalom is arrogant. He's vain. I mean, this is the guy who measured the weight of his own hair, right? Like, I mean, he's so vain, he probably thinks this song is about him. You know, like, that's the kind of guy that Absalom was. And Hushai plays to his vanity. Now, admittedly, Hushai's advice is still, like, kind of not bad advice, which is get everybody to muster everybody together and come out for a grand battle. But what's he doing? He's giving David an opportunity to get away and regroup. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai, the Archite, sounds better than the advice of Ahithophel. Again, all the men of Israel, all the men of Israel did not say that. Okay, remember we started talking about this a couple days ago. This is not to be taken literally. The reason we have the phrase, all the men of Israel, is because this is playing to Absalom's vanity. It's playing to Absalom's vanity. Look, what did he say? We will gather all of Israel to you, from Dan to Beersheba. If he hides in a city, then all of Israel will take ropes. All the men of Israel said the advice of Hushai sounds better. Why? Because Absalom is living this fantasy where he is actually the king. He's living this fantasy where all of Israel loves him. All of Israel loves Absalom. Oh, we love Absalom. He's so great. He's so wonderful. Oh, Absalom's so wonderful. We love him so much. Absalom's living in this fantasy where all of Israel loves him, but all of Israel does not love him. All of Israel does not love him. And this idea, that it keeps being reiterated in this text, and I cannot help but think that this is dramatic irony. This is literary irony, that they keep using the expression all of Israel when it's most clearly not all of Israel. And so this is speaking specifically to what happens to Absalom. Absalom really believed that all of Israel was on his side, when it was most certainly not. The advice of Hushai the Archite sounds better than the advice of Ahithophel. Now, the Lord had decided to frustrate the sound advice of Ahithophel so that the Lord could bring disaster on Absalom. Okay, so what do we see? God says, the text says, that Ahithophel's advice was good. That if Absalom should have done that, but God frustrated the advice of Ahithophel so that the Lord could bring disaster on Absalom. Okay, so there's a huge theological thing right here. This is monumental. Like, God prevented Absalom from understanding Ahithophel's good advice so that he could bring disaster on Absalom. Friends, it is a dangerous place to be a sinner. Once you go in for sin, you not only become a slave to sin and you lose your agency, as I was talking about with David, but you lose the advice to frankly make your own decisions. Because, by the way, that's what being a slave is. Again and again and again, we see this in the biblical text. When you go in for sin, you lose the ability to make your own decisions. Now, Hushai reported to Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. Here's what Ahithophel said. And he gives them a message. You know, don't spend the night over on this side of the river. Make sure you cross over, get across the river. And Jonathan and Ahimaaz, the spies, were sent. And they go and they had to hide. And it's a really cool story, but it's not theologically significant right here. It's really cool. And they go and they warn David. And then the servants, they come to the house and they have to hide out. And it's really neat. And it's a cool story. Okay. But it's not really significant right now for what we're talking about. So they hide. And then eventually they're able to cross over. And they're able to get the advice to David. And David, verse 22, David and all the people who were with him got up and crossed the Jordan River. By dawn, there was not a person left who had not crossed the Jordan. Verse 23, when Ahithophel realized that his advice had not been followed, he saddled his donkey and returned to his house in his hometown. After setting his household in order, he hanged himself. So he died and was buried in the grave of his father. So Ahithophel, the wisest man in all of Israel, he realizes that Absalom is done for. That Absalom not taking his advice, he sees the handwriting on the wall. He sees what's going to happen, and he goes and he hangs himself. Why? Why? Is it impossible that David could have forgiven him? That's not impossible. It's not impossible. It's very possible. Maybe if he had gone over this day and told David, he said, I realized that what I did was wrong, and I shouldn't have sided with Absalom, but I was so angry at you because of XYZ. But he didn't. Ahithophel believed that killing himself was the easiest solution, because it is actually the easiest solution. Now, what dreams may come after we shuffle off this mortal coil, that's another story. But Ahithophel takes the easy way out. Which is ironic, because wisdom is all about not taking the easy way out, right? Like wisdom is about, generally, wisdom is about doing the hard thing. Now, yeah, sometimes wisdom means, you know, grasping for low-hanging fruit. But Ahithophel was wise. And now he's acting like a fool. Might be a sermon there. We're running out of time, so I'm not going to stop and settle there. But I just want you to think about that. The wisest man in Israel gets to brought to a point that because of sin, he ends up committing great folly. It's probably something there. Anyways, David had moved on, and Absalom had made Amasa the general in of the army in command in place of Joab. Amasa was the son of an Israelite man named Jether, who had married Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, and the sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. Okay, so, wow. Gotta get through there. So, basically, Amasa is related to Absalom. He's kind of a distant cousin, but he's related to Nahash, the sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. So, following these family connections is really difficult because we don't really understand everything here. But long story short, they are related. And Abigail is the daughter of Nahash, and she's the sister of Zeruiah. So what's this relation to David? Really hard to say. Because generally we understand that Zeruiah, if you want to pronounce it that way, was a sister to David. But why do they say that she's the daughter of Nahash and sister of Zeruiah? Well, it could be that they're trying to underplay the relationship to David and show the relationship to Joab. Again, pushing David out of the forefront of the story. But that's kind of getting deep in there, and I don't know that I could validate that. But it'd be interesting to do a paper or something on that. Anyways, the army of Israel and Absalom camped in the land of Gilead. David came to Mahanaim, and Shobi the son of Nahash from Rabbah of the Ammonites, Maker the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim brought bedding, basins, and pottery utensils. They also brought food for David and all who were with him, including wheat, barley, flour, roasted grain, beans, lentils, honey, curds, flax, and cheese. For they said, the people are no doubt hungry and thirsty, tired in the desert. Okay, so even foreigners here are coming to help David. David is on the run. His own people are against him, and all of Israel is against him. Or is it? You know, that's the, or is it? Anyways, I went over my 15-minute promise, but hey, we did a pretty good job here, and we're going to continue this civil war here tomorrow. I hope you have enjoyed this Bible study, and I hope you have a great day. God bless. Bye.